We are going to get caught up with John Millay, media specialist for the Minnesota State High School League, because John has always got adventures covering high school sports here in our great state of Minnesota. And John, a good afternoon, and like always, thank you so much for the time.
Aaron, glad to be with you. It's always great to talk with you.
Now, John, you just got back from a northern road trip. You were covering some hockey where we know is the hockey, I guess, hotspot in the state of Minnesota. Talk about where you're just getting back from.
Yeah, I spent 2 days in Roseau, way up there. I mean, it's not right on the border. It's 10 miles from the Canadian border, so it's not that long of a drive. Yeah, I drove up, left Tuesday morning, had plenty of time. Hockey game was at 7 o'clock. I was in Roseau by 3:30, and it took about 7 hours. Coming home here yesterday, Wednesday, it was about eight hours because of the snow and the blowing snow. That was a little more adventurous. But, yeah, I don't mind making these long drives, and this one was really worth it. I've certainly seen War Road and Roseau boys and girls hockey teams state tournament, but never seen one of those rivalry games up there. So the War Road boys made the 20-mile trip down south a little bit to Roseau for a game at Roseau Memorial Arena, which I knew all about. I'd seen a lot of photos, video, and it's just a showplace, you know, just to be there in that building from the 1940s, and for that rivalry, which the place was absolutely packed. The Roseau Pep Band played. It's the hottest ticket in town. Everybody goes to the game. People from both towns, and it seems like they all know each other. You know, they're pretty close. Really fun. They've been playing hockey against each other since 1945, and just as fun an evening at a high school sporting event I've ever had. And it was just a blast. And then before I left Wednesday morning, Tom Jerome is the superintendent of schools in Albert Lea and a member of the high school league board of directors, currently the president of that board, so he and I are pretty close. He gave me a tour of their school, which I'd been through before. But they've got some really cool construction things going on. And Roseau's such a neat little town up there. You know, it's not very big. It's a K-12 school, basically, in one facility. And really a fun night of watching hockey up there. And I got to talk to the Roseau varsity team a little bit before the game and chatted with them and spent time with the officials. Just talked to fans, talked to some old-timers up there. I'm doing a story about the game and the rivalry in the arena, and really got a sense of the history up there and how proud, rightfully so, everybody up there is about the high school hockey, Roseau and War Road.
Now, John, I know it's a pretty far trip for anyone that would be going from Albert Lea to that neck of the woods. You're going from southern Minnesota to pretty much the northern tip, but I'm assuming if you're a hockey fan and you ever have a chance in your lifetime, you need to go up to that area, because I can't imagine the history you learned about. I can't imagine how cool that that hockey barn was to watch that game. Because again, when you talk Minnesota hockey, War Road and Roseau, those are a couple of the schools that comes to everybody's mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that would be a haul from Albert Lea. You can't get much farther apart and still be in Minnesota. And I live in the southern end of the Twin Cities, and that was a plenty long haul for me, but again, I'm used to doing that. I mean, I haven't made it many drives longer than that. It was funny while I was at the hockey game. You know, it's 8 o'clock at night, and one of the fans I was chatting with said, "Hey, are you driving home tonight?" And I said, "No, that would never happen. It took me 7 hours to get here, and it's blizzarding outside. No, I'm going to spend the night at a hotel up here." But yeah, it's really special. You know, I was talking to one of the old timers who remembers when the place was new, and he was telling me, you know, before they had plexiglass on the board, it was chicken wire. And that was probably pretty standard, you know.
Chicken wire.
There was chicken wire, you know, behind the net. And the guy was telling me, but, you know, the puck never came more than 3 feet off the ice. It wasn't like the game now. It's basically a low level game. And just the stories they tell up there, and they've got these wonderful displays inside the entrance to the arena before you actually go in to the ice. All these photos, murals, all these great Roseau hockey players, every one of them who went on to play Division I college hockey. NHL, Olympics, you know, Neil Broughton, just the whole gamut. There's so many of those guys. When you think of all these years they've been playing hockey there, and all these kids who've gone on to pro hockey and the Olympics and gold medals and everything else, and all, you know, a whole bunch of them became big-time college and pro coaches. Just wandering through the, kind of the lobby area, really phenomenal. They really did a good job. I was telling Tom Jerome, my friend up there, I said, these kinds of displays, you know, I've seen a lot of these in a lot of hockey arenas and gyms and schools. And they don't just happen. Somebody puts a ton of work into this. Everything's in a nice frame. It's not just taped to the wall. It's just so professionally done. And that alone is really cool. I mean, the arena is the draw to get in there when the place is full and the music's pumping and everybody's excited. I mean, that's just, I don't know. I can't describe that. And I told people up there, I said, I've looked at pictures and video from this arena multiple times, but it just doesn't do it justice till you walk in. And when Tom and I walked in, we walked in there at about 4 o'clock. The place was empty. All the lights weren't even on. It was like walking into a church. You know, it's got that big wooden arching ceiling. And, you know, I don't know how many seats the place has. I don't know if it has 1,500 seats. I don't know. It's not a lot. And, but people were standing 2 and 3 deep, you know, at the ends of the rink. And just such a cool place. And you know, I was talking to the coach there at Roseau, Greg London, who played at Roseau. He grew up there. He's lived there his whole life. And other people, I think they take it for granted a little bit, because it's been there everybody as long as anybody can remember. And to me, I didn't take it for granted, because I've been in a lot of hockey bars. And they know it's special, because, you know, a lot of media come up there occasionally to report on the place and do stories. They know how special it is, but you know, they don't have that outsider's viewpoint like you and I do. Like just walking in there and then walking out. After the game, I hung around, did interviews, chatted, and I was one of the last people out of there. And it was like going to church, you know, going to church for 4 hours. Walking in, you'd be the first ones in there. Here comes the congregation. And, okay, service is over and everybody's out. Let's turn the lights off and go get something to eat. And that's basically what it was like.
John Millay with the Minnesota State High School League here on KATE. And, John, I don't have it in front of me, but Hockey Day Minnesota is coming up here shortly. Do you know the date, and do you know the high school schedule that is set up for Hockey Day Minnesota? I know they always have games on TV. Do you know any of that information offhand?
The main date is Saturday, January 22nd in Mankato at Blakesley Field out there. I don't have the list of high school teams in front of me. And I've been to several of the Hockey Day events, the high school games, and it's always fun, but it's kind of like the Winter Classic at Target Field. You know, you set that date, and you don't know what kind of weather you're going to get. Some of those have been bitter cold, and some have been pretty sloppy ice. And it's always kind of a gamble, but it's a neat thing. You know, when the Winter Classic can sell out Target Field for a hockey game where nobody's within, you know, 200 yards of the actual ice, that says something about Minnesotans and how much we love hockey. And yeah, Hockey Day has really become a big deal over the years. You know, when you get a TV network behind it, that's pretty good. Yeah, I'm still trying to decide if I'm going to make it to Mankato. I'm going to find the list of games and try to decide. You know what? I'm going to look at the weather forecast too. I don't like freezing my backside off as much as some people do. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. But that always is pretty cool.
No, I don't blame you. Weather is always important when it comes to making decisions about where you're going to go watch outdoor hockey. So the 25th, you said, that's the one in Mankato?
Yeah, that's the information I've got. Yep, 22nd.
22nd, excuse me. Yep. January 22nd. So we'll have an outdoor game at a Blakesley Stadium in Mankato. So if you want to watch some outdoor hockey, and again, not a long cruise from Albert Lea to Mankato, keep that date on your calendar. Now, John, I want to turn our attention to talking about officiating, because we've talked about this on the show this week. We had a couple of games earlier this week where the schedule was changed because of lack of officiating. So some of high school games were moved from a Tuesday to a Monday. There was a game on Tuesday that turned into a girls-boys basketball doubleheader because of lack of officiating. I saw that you are in the process, and we want to encourage others, and I talk about this on the show all the time, Minnesota State High School League website. Go there, find out about becoming an official, because the need is real there's definitely a shortage right now, and it's very easy to get certified, I'm assuming. I mean, if someone wants to go through the process of becoming an official, how easy are the steps?
Yeah, I'm just exploring that because you're right. That was my New Year's resolution on Twitter. I'm going to become an official, and I'm not certain which sport or sports, but I'm going to do that this year. I've looked at our website. If you go to the website, nshsl.org, maybe click the search tab and just put in officiating. It'll take you to the page. And you can do it all online. You know, you sign up, you pay a fee. It's not much at all. There's videos to watch. There's a test you take. It's all online. And away you go. It's really simple. We try to make it as easy as possible. And I've been talking about this for so long here, and I thought it's time I walked the walk a little bit. I'm 63 years old. I'm not going to be a rookie basketball official, but I'm thinking maybe track or field, something like that. And I'm a track guy. I know about track and field. That's probably the way I'm going to go here. And I just thought I need to maybe set a better example by go ahead and registering and get certified. And if the need arises, I can jump in and help out at a track meet. Because we do need more people to do this. And you're right. All over the state, games have been moved. Those boys, girls, double headers at the same site have been arranged because there's not enough officials to have two varsity games at two different sites at the same time. So, yeah, it's an issue. Everybody's working through it pretty well, I think. Everybody realizes the issues there. I think administrators certainly are trying to find officials and fans. We just need fans to behave a little better. I think referees should be paid more. It varies sport by sport, different areas of the state. And I don't have the answers on how you do that. Where's that money come from? I don't have the solution to that, but I think that would help a lot. So, yeah, we're just trying to move the ball on this thing a little bit and help out the officials we have and hopefully add to the ranks.
Now, John, that's a good topic as well. Why is there a shortage of officials? And Tom Jones, he's a weekly guest that joins us on Tuesday. We were talking about this a couple of days ago, and he thought maybe since COVID, some of the older officials maybe have decided not to come back to officiating. Does it have to do with pay? Does it have to do with officials not wanting to deal with fans? In your opinion, what are some of the main reasons why we're seeing an official shortage?
Yeah, everything you mentioned is true. I know with COVID, and this is nationally, this is not just a Minnesota problem. This is in every state in the country, and basically almost any sport. There's a lot of national discussions about this. With COVID, certainly a lot of older officials, especially of indoor sports, basketball, volleyball, things like that, did not come back, in the last year. They either retired or are taking a break. And, and I think that maybe dissuades even younger people from doing it. Why would I want to be in a gym where it might not be safe with Delta and Omicron? And we certainly understand that. I have the same question. I've got a couple of visits to classrooms on the books here coming up, and I'm starting to rethink. I don't know, maybe we should hold off on some of those things. I don't want to be the one who brings COVID into a school. If it's in there, I don't want to bring it out. You got to be careful. But yeah, it's a lot of things. And the economy is always part of this. When the economy is not good, we have more officials because more people want to have that second income. And I'm no economist, but that's one way I judge how good the economy is. Do we have more officials coming out and working? And right now we don't. So I don't think the economy is in trouble based on that. I mean, that's nothing to base, your views of the economy on, but that's the world I live in. That if we have more officials coming out, kind of a surge, well, that's because they want, a good number of them want to have that little second income. And that's not the case right now. So yeah, it's Omicron, it's Delta, it's the money they make, it's the treatment by fans. Some of these hockey officials, there were four of them up at this game in Roseau. Some of those guys had a 2-hour drive. They were spending the night in Roseau. They had to pay for their own hotel because the roads weren't good enough to get back to Bemidji or wherever they were from. So yeah, travel's a big part of it, depending on what part of the state you're in and what sport you're doing. But there's about a million different moving pieces on this officiating thing. And And hopefully we'll get to a better place. Certainly, it's going to take time, and there's a lot of pieces of this puzzle. You know, it's training, it's learning, it's fan behavior, it's pay, it's just a lot of parts of it.
John Millay, Minnesota State High School League media specialist, joining us here on Kate Radio. And I love what you just said about the officials up north. I don't know what their pay is, but if they had to pay for a hotel room and they drove 2 hours to get to the game and 2 hours to get back, they didn't make much of a paycheck that night.
No, you're not making any money doing that. I don't think hotel rooms in Roseau are that expensive on a Tuesday night in January. Mine wasn't too bad, but if you're doing that on a regular basis, you're maybe zeroing out there. But you know, these people who officiate, these are dedicated men and women, and I know a ton of them. They love what they do, and that's not going to stop the great ones from working the games they're assigned to. And you know, it's like a hockey fan who wouldn't want to go see Waro and Roseau. And the officials are the same way. They love those games in those places. You know, same thing with basketball. But you know, you name the sport, officials love going to places that are great sites for these things. So, yeah. I mean, that's really something that they'll you know, maybe not make money, maybe lose a little money, but they got to work a game between those two schools and that great arena. It says a lot about those officials.
Now, John, before we let you go, when it comes to a road trip, so you got anything planned for this week or next week at all?
Nothing on the books quite yet. My wife is kind of rolling her eyes when I talk about. She asked me about a week ago. She said, "So you're going to Roseau? You're going anywhere else far away in the next few weeks?" And I told her, "I've got a trip to Moorhead. I don't have a date. I'm going to Moorhead. That's not that tough. That's I-94 all the way. You know, when I go to Roseau, it's county roads and it's state roads. I didn't hit any gravel this time, but we need an interstate between the Twin Cities and Roseau. I got to start staying in the trunk for that. You know, if you're going to the Iron Range, it's pretty easy. You go up 35 to Duluth or Cloquet, and you swing left, and you're on the Iron Range. Roseau's and Waro, not that easy. But I told her I know I'm going to go to Moorhead at some point. I don't know when. And there's another story in Ely I'd like to do. It's a basketball story. One of the late Bob McDonald's sons, his son Tom, is the boys basketball coach at Ely High School, and it's kind of like the Roseau thing. I've never been to any sporting event in Ely, and they've got a gym that's probably older than that arena in Roseau. And I've seen pictures of it. And Tom McDonald won his 500th career game early in the year, and I'd like to do that. So I'm looking at the Ely boys basketball schedule. I'm talking to my friends in Waro. The reason I'm going to go to Waro is I do this John's Journal Sack Hunger campaign every fall, kind of during the football season, to encourage schools to collect non-perishable food items for the hungry in their communities. And a lot of schools take part in that. And this year, Moorhead is the winner of that. They did a great job of collecting food. So, and what I do is we have 100 T-shirts made up with the John's Journal Sack Hunger logo on the front and the back. And 3 years ago, in fact, I was down in Spring Grove, or that was 3 years ago. They were the initial winner. 2 years ago, Owatonna High School was the winner, so I delivered 100 T-shirts to both of those schools. And we didn't do it last year because of COVID, but now this year, Moorhead is the winner, so I'm going to get up to Moorhead. We'll plan an event. Normally, we've done this at a pep assembly or a basketball game or something where there's a lot of people gathered, and I take a couple of boxes with 100 T-shirts in there to hand out to whoever we can get them to and celebrate the accomplishment of raising food donations to feed the hungry.
That is very cool. That's a great story. I appreciate everything you do around the state of Minnesota. We're going to check in with you later this month because I love catching up on your stories and your travels, and you do such a great job with a John's Journal and also with the podcast. So before I let you go, where can they find John's Journal and talk about where they can find that podcast as well?
Yeah, kind of the clearinghouse for all that stuff, Aaron, is my Twitter account. That's at MSHSL John, J-O-H-N. And I pretty much link to everything, all the podcasts. The podcast, if you want to search for it on whatever podcast app you use, is Prep Today with John Millay, M-I-L-L-E-A. And the John's Journal stories, if you go to MSHSL.org, scroll down a little bit, you'll see John's Journal. You can go back through a whole bunch of stories. They're all stacked up there. And I add it as often as I can. So But I think the Twitter account is the place to start, at MFHSLJohn, because that's, I, you know, if you want to see what that place in Roseau looks like, while I was there, I tweeted a whole bunch of photos, of the videos of the band and the action on the ice. Just the scene. I mean, that's the great thing about Twitter. I mean, there aren't a lot of great things about Twitter, but at least for me there are. I feel like when I go to Roseau or I go to Ely or I'm in Albert Lea at an event, I tweet a lot of photos and videos to let people kind of ride along with me and see what I'm seeing and what this is like. And yeah, it's a great tool. So that Twitter account, MSHSLJohn, that's the best place to get connected.
Kate Radio with John Millay, media specialist for the Minnesota State High School League. And John, thank you so much for the time. We'll catch up later this month. And again, appreciate you sharing stories throughout the state of Minnesota and sharing those stories with us here on Kate Radio. Again, thank you so much for the time.
Aaron, it's great talking to you. I'd invite you and anybody else, listeners, if there's any stories down there at Albert Lea or in the area that you think I'd be interested in, let me know. My email address is on every story I write at John's Journal. And send me an email or a note on Twitter, and then we might find something here.
That sounds great. We'd love to see you down here in Albert Lea sometime in the near future. Again, thank
you,
John.
Great, Aaron.
We'll talk soon.
Thanks a lot.